Hello, chat. We're live.
Hello, chat.
Welcome to Sadly Something Else. Oh, my webcam's getting a bit screwy again. Soon fix that. Anyway, yes. Feels like I haven't seen you all in a while. Because I didn't stream on Wednesday. And I might have had a slightly harrowing hospital visit since then. But I'm all at least willing to have a conversation now.
Yay.
I wouldn't go so far to say that I'm all better now.
You know what? This isn't going to be a good episode. It's going to be an episode, though. That's what we want to say.
Hey.
What?
Let's at least try to be ambitious.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's act like this is our job, right?
Ooh, imagine that. Imagine having to talk about video games for your jobs.
What if there was a game where you talked about video games as a job?
What a time to be alive, as
really?
I would say. And speaking of talking about video games as our jobs, this week we're talking about jobs in the context of video gameplay.
Correct. Yeah, not like jobs in the video game industry, which I feel like someone's going to get confused by. This is in-game jobs.
Yeah, because this is an ever-popular genre, increasingly so, and has been for some time in the indie world. I think we've both been playing Dave the Diver recently, which is the current hot property in the world of indies.
Yeah.
But having played it, it doesn't do a whole lot new. It just does a lot of it.
It does do a lot. It is an appetizer platter of various systems and mechanics and interlinking design decisions.
That's a very good way of putting it. A million different things, all about tissue thin, the lot of it.
Yes.
But the whole game that's sort of a hybrid business management sim has been pretty popular on Steam and in indie circles. Stardew Valley, of course.
Yeah.
Flying the flag of the light farm sim. But games like a Moonlighter, where you ran a shop and also explored dungeons, was one of the first examples of the indie post-dad sort of experience I've often talked about, where they try to hybridize the work sim, job management, satisfaction of a job well done sort of game that used to be the territory of your dads, combined with a more traditional gamey element, like dungeon exploring or having to catch lots of very dangerous fish.
Yeah, it's funny because it seems like when I was thinking of examples of this, there's a lot of early examples, and I feel like arcade games had a decent amount of games that leaned on sort of jobs as a main mechanic. Tapper, where you were a bartender, Paperboy, where you were the titular Paperboy, and then into the late 90s, Crazy Taxi, where you could live the life of a taxi driver, and let me tell you, that was still chaotic.
That was still pretty crazy.
It was still pretty crazy. And then it seems like, it really seemed like it sort of branched off, and it was either there were mechanics in other games, specifically like open world and RPG games, where you could get an in-game job, or there were these, like you call them, post-dad games that are built solely around, you know, living the fantasy of farming simulator or bus simulator or power wash simulator, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I still think post-dad's a relatively recent concept. Hard Space Shipbreaker is another good example.
Yeah, and that's an interesting example of a job, like being able to do a job that is like a fantastical job. You know, sort of like you mentioned Moonlighter. That was the one where you run a store by day, right? And then you spelunk in dungeons at night.
Interestingly, not the first game to do that. There was also a Japanese game called Racketeer.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
That is basically exactly the same thing, but Japanese.
Yeah, and that's an interesting, like, when I think about that, it almost feels like a game that is built around running a shop in a fantasy world is almost like if you were to just be playing a game and think to yourself, like, I want to play a game from that person's point of view, and you point to, like, an NPC that you don't really, like, talk to that much. Like, if you were playing Pokemon, and instead of being, you know, the center of the adventure, you were like, I want to play a game where I'm Officer Jenny or where I'm Nurse Joy. Like, I want to be a Pokemon doctor or, like, a Pokemon cop. I don't know if I'd like a Pokemon cop. Do Pokemon cops go after Pokemon, or do they go after humans who are committing Pokemon crimes?
Well, they only go after that one Pokemon that looks like a black person.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. The Officer Jetty thing, there might be some systemic racism inside the world of Pokemon policing. So ACAB still stands even to Pokemon cops.
What am I thinking of? You know, that really dodgy thing that looks like a person wearing blackface. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That first generation, they had to iron out some kinks. they had to get all that out of their system before people were like, maybe this is a bad idea for a Pokemon.
I was just trying to think of a way to spin that into a racist joke.
No, you shouldn't. I personally think you shouldn't. I think we should move on to the next topic, such as what if we ran a theme park?
The cops aren't about ironing out the kinks, ironing out the chinks, more like. What? I'm just saying.
You didn't have to say that. You could have just not said it.
I thought we were having fun together as a community. Making fun of the cops for being racist.
You have mono, and this is how we're going to fall back on every time.
Okay, mono makes me racist. It's that's in the DSV now, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Well, I suppose the question when anything becomes popular, like your post at the work sim, because you're right, it's been around for a long time.
Sure.
Used to be a very retro thing before video games, I would say, in around the PS1 sort of era, attracted the image of being a thing for cool teens to do.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, it was like a kiddie thing, mascot platformers and the like. But even before that, especially in like the homebrew eras of the Commodore 64 and other home computers, there were a lot of games where you were just a dude mowing his lawn or... just a dude running a little tailor's shop or whatever, or a dude who has to clean somebody's toilet.
So what is that? What is there about the sort of like the mundanity of real life jobs that can appeal to people in an interactive setting? Is it is there something calming about the structure of like a 9-to-5 that people want to seek outside of their 9-to-5? Like I was trying to wrap my head around when we decided on this topic of like, what is it about these little tasks in games inside of games that because they appeal to me, like I like them in games like, you know, in like Yakuza and Persona and the Taxi Driving and Grand Theft Auto, and I was trying to figure out why.
Well, when you get right down to it, all video games are just extra jobs.
Yeah,
there's an extra job where you have to save a princess or defeat lots of evil monsters by doing lots of repetitive tasks.
Yeah,
and an in-game job can be a sort of micro high. They can be like, okay, let's not worry about the broad problem of saving the princess right now. For right now, let's just worry about making sure everyone's table is served in this little light restaurant management sim. And then you can get a little pat on the head at the end saying, you did a very good job. Now, back to saving the princess. And it's sort of an opportunity to have a little extra high when you're working with something with more of a long-term payoff.
But so kind of fulfills the like the mini game role of like it's part palette cleanser, I guess, or like world building palette cleanser.
I suppose, and as I say, just to get a little extra boost of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose it could also be that the world we live in has become a cruel and dreadful place, and for the sake of escapism, we turn to something that will just reassure us that everything's going to be all right. Not so much, you know, the high-octane spectacle and excitement of a Final Fantasy. Just a nice, calm thing saying, hey, you focus on your little corner of the world and everything will probably be fine. I think Dave the Diver exemplifies that very well.
Yeah.
Like, hey, there's no need to worry that much. You're being, like, victimized by eco-terrorists. You'd had to fight a giant kraken the other day, but... hey, at the end of the day, we all have to come back to the sushi restaurant and make sure everyone's got their cup of tea.
Yeah.
Just relax, man. Nothing is so apocalyptically strange that it will stop you having to pour cups of tea for people at the end of the day.
And like the worst case scenario of like, you know, if you're exploring the deep sea depths, you can pass out and you can, or you can lose all your health and lose all the loot you've collected. Whereas like, if you mess up on a night of the job, it's just like, well, you messed up on the job. You didn't get enough money. That's fine. There'll be, you know, tomorrow will be another day and you'll be able to come back to the sushi bar at night tomorrow. And maybe you could do better and hire more crew and everything.
because there's a lot in Dave the Diver, but it, even though it does have giant monster fights and, you know, epic boss battles and stuff, you get the sense that the game doesn't really care if you do it or not. Like,
no.
Nothing will change much. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, like Dave's kind of laid back attitude is feels
stakes.
Present in everything. Is low stakes. That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
Hill feels very low stakes.
But it does that thing that I think you know, ironically, Dredge also did very well, both being the two big seafaring games of the year, to where it uses those sort of the idea of the job as an interesting way to create, like, I don't know, like a double helix in the game's mechanics, to where you do better at the job, which helps you do better at the exploring, which helps you do better at the job, which helps you do better at the exploring.
Well, that's just perfect hybrid gameplay along your persona level.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's part of what, you know, in Persona, that's like part of the reason that I feel like on paper you could be like, oh, well, you can either explore dungeons or you can work at a flower shop. And you'd be like, why the hell would I possibly want to work at a flower shop when I could explore dungeons? But then you see how the two of those, you know, speak to each other, yeah, and interact with each other.
Maybe,
and
you'd like, oh, to work at the flower shop to take a break from fighting the monsters in the dungeons.
Yeah,
fight
exactly.
Monsters in dungeons all day. It's no. Good when a game can offer a sort of, you know, a sine wave of energy. It can give you, like, time to get your breath back from the more intense things.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of, it's necessary because the, you know, in like a book or a movie, the pacing can be controlled by the author, whereas a lot of times in games, the pacing's in your hand. Like, the author can't have control over the pacing, and so giving the player the option to take their own breaks and catch their own breath tends to be kind of important, especially in those big old long games.
Is it something to do with our age, do you think, that we enjoy the sensation of, you know, being congratulated on having done a job well done?
I mean, maybe, yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd be curious of, like, what the average age of something like, you know, any of these post-ad simulator games or anything like that is. And if it's something that, like, if a kid would be like, well, I don't even know. I've never had a job, so I don't understand the satisfaction of a job well done, or you know, being able to have a job where you could just finish and clock out at the end of a night and really not have to think about it. It might be an age thing, yeah. Although we did see, you know, we did see those early examples of Paperboy and Tapper and stuff, but I guess that was mostly taking a job that would make for interesting, you know, quick fix arcade mechanics.
Yeah, and as I say, that was before video games sort of acquired their image.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Mario did a lot to sort of characterize video games as a kiddie thing.
Sure.
In the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, as I say, the PS1 sort of made it the cool older brother hangout. Where everyone's wearing backwards baseball caps and skateboarding.
Yeah. Everyone looked like the how do you do fellow kids meme. I'm thinking back to, like, it feels like Harvest Moon was the first sort of what we consider like modern farmy games, and I'm wondering, like, why that job felt like such a good fit for gaming. Like, why did farming as a trade why does it feel like such a perfect fit for games? Is it the multitasking? Is it sort of the built-in daily routine?
Well, the daily routine certainly is what makes it sort of addictive.
Yeah.
You get into a sort of cycle of, I'll just do one more day.
Mm-hmm.
I was discussing this when I was in my Dev Diary series, and I was talking about the appeal of games like Stardew Valley. It has the short-term wins, like the fishing mini game or the giving presents to people, where you just get instant feedback saying, oh, well done, you caught a fish.
Yeah.
And then it has, but at the same time, it also gives you other things in the course of the same day, interwoven with those things, things with more long-term payoffs, like watering the crops and giving people presents with a view to getting your nasty little leg over them at some point in the future.
Yeah. Nasty little Lego. Yeah, that is interesting. There, yeah, the immediate satisfaction and the, you know, prolonged sort of the larger goals.
And it pushes you to do the whole one more, just one more day thing.
Yeah.
Always thinking that maybe next day will be the day the parsnips finally come up and we can finally get
Yeah.
the long-awaited payoff.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's interesting that, like, I understand why farming is the perfect fit for it, but, like, why aren't other jobs? Like, why
well,
don't
was
we
the
have
whole
this giant...
This was the whole question that occurred to me when I started work on Starstruck Vagabond. I was like, we've got our light farming work sim. No one really expects it to be a fully realistic work sim.
Yeah.
There's just something about the task of farming that we seem to like in that sort of stripped down cartoony setting. So I was thinking, what's another sort of work task that's sort of repetitive that you can do over and over again? And I settled on delivering crates to places.
Yeah, and that's been sort of the idea of bringing a thing from one place to another has been like a core mechanic in games, especially in, you know, like side quests and stuff and fetch quests and all that stuff. And then, you know, Death Stranding sort of took it and ran with it. And so, yeah, it seems like delivery. And it's funny, too, because it feels like the concept of the delivery man is just growing and growing now that people get everything delivered in their life. They get
they are the modern heroes
they're eating,
of our age.
Yeah. They were like the frontline workers during COVID and everything. And so, yeah, that feels like a job that existed for a very long time, but has gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah. But, and it's not just farming these days. As I say, indie spheres have explored all sorts of things. Shop management is very popular. There's like 19 different games about running a potion shop for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's just like it's the thing that makes sense as a ways into a fantastic world of
it sort of ties in with the farming sim good because there's the natural connection there of growing ingredients for your potions.
Yeah. And even Concerned Ape, the developer of Stardew Valley's next game, is that haunted chocolatier, which is you run a chocolate shop in a cool, spooky, haunted town or castle or whatever the hell the game's about.
But of course, the parlance of farming has always been attached to video games, even in sort of more action-focused things. People talk about farming when they play World of Warcraft. People talk about farming when they play dungeon crawlers, and that's partly why Moonlighter found its niche, because it's a similar sort of grind. You farm stuff in the dungeon by fighting things.
Yeah.
And then you sell them in your shop as the long-term payoff. It's the same sort of model of Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley. The moment-to-moment activity paired with the long-term payoff.
Yeah.
But it's just...
Except they need the...
It's recontextualized, like, I guess.
Yeah. Those games, they'll feel the need... Like, those aren't games that are just about farming, though. Like, there are those. There's like the farm simulator and, you know, like those kind of things that are truck simulator that legitimately do try to replicate one-to-one what these jobs are like. And those do have their audience, but I feel like the ones that really pop off and, you know, explode onto the scene, like Stardew Valley, are the ones that marry that core concept with, you know, exploration and dungeon crawling and time management and social dating sim stuff and everything like that.
It's post-daddery is what it is.
Post-daddery.
Because the pure work sims that you describe, like Forklift Sim or Euro Truck Simulator, are what I would call the dad games, the pure dad games.
Yeah.
And I always thought the audience for those games, Train Simulator as well, was people who, you know, retired truck drivers, people who used to work in that field and want to in some way reminisce.
Interesting.
Especially the realistic train simulators. They have like a huge niche audience of like model train enthusiasts.
Yeah.
My dad was a professional train engineer, and when he retired, he spent most of his time with his model train set.
That's, yeah. I guess, yeah, if something's like such a vital part of your life for decades and decades, then after you're done doing it, you want to find a way to replicate it somehow. You can't just kind of sever that limb forever.
And I've always felt the trend of the post-dad game came about from the audience for gaming who grew up playing more traditional gaming experiences like Zeldas and more traditional gamey games, becoming of age, becoming dads themselves, and also finding some appeal in the workaday grind sims.
Sure, sure. Huh. There's also the... it's interesting to see how some of these jobs have sort of lent themselves to these kind of current trend of chaotic multiplayer games in stuff like Overcooked and Moving Out. And they take sort of these jobs that are like team based and very sort of stressful at their core and communication based, and you know, refines that into gameplay, like taking the chaos of a kitchen and a front of house staff at a restaurant and condensing it into this multiplayer sort of chaos simulator that you have to slowly try to like wrangle your group around. Same thing with Moving Out. It's strange to me that
I mean, all that coordination stuff, you could be describing someone coordinating a group of four SWAT team members in Rainbow Six or something. And I think when you break it down, most gameplay loops are pretty equivalent. Like, you know, go to a place, solve the task, whether by shooting all the enemies or putting all the boxes in the moving van. And I think all that's really happened in recent times is a recontextualization. We take the standard gameplay loops of sorting out problems and we place them in more mundane settings, like moving house or running a restaurant. And that may well point to a maturity in gaming's audience, a growing maturity, or a wish to explore themes other than just exciting violence, possibly in order to escape a world in which there's plenty of exciting violence in the real world that we'd rather not have to think about.
Yeah. So it's, I guess like you said, there's the games built around violence where it's like, I'm organizing a team that is going to raid this building and take down all the bad guys in it. But there's just a certain segment of the audience that just doesn't want that. And so it's taking that sort of mentality and feeling and then boiling it down into something more palatable, like a restaurant or like a moving company.
It's funny. I find playing Overcooked a lot more mentally stressful than playing a co-op shooter.
Interesting. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's just having to worry about multiple things at once.
Yeah.
Rather than just having to worry about keeping yourself alive and pointing at the nasty enemies and shooting them until they die.
Yeah. See, I mean, maybe that's like part of the...
Shooting someone until they die, that's a relatively stress-free experience.
Yeah.
Like, hey, there you go. You don't have to worry about then cooking the corpse and putting the corpse on the appropriate plate and sending them to the appropriate restaurant patron.
Although that is a game idea. Keep that one in your back pocket. any first person, it's like Doom, except you take all the bodies and you drag them back and you try to open up like a little Sweeney Todd.
This could have been an indie game that does that. I mean, people are going to mention Ravenous Devils, in which you murder people and turn the corpses into pies.
Yeah,
it's not really an action game when you do the murdering, but there's got to be a game where you do that. There's got to be a game, I mean, even like something like Dave the Diver, where you go around murdering fish all day in order to serve their corpses to the restaurant patrons, and it's sort of an action game.
Sure.
Where you just collect all the bodies. There's got to be plenty of examples of that in the indie world.
I'm sure. There's also the games that use the profession to sort of build its atmosphere and its story and tone around, and stuff like Papers, Please, which takes the unenviable job of being the gatekeeper of a country in disarray. Mm-hmm. And then earlier this year, last year, whenever we played it, that Mortuary Assistant game.
Oh yes.
Which took a real job and then injected it with the horror that a lot of people would probably associate with looking from the outside of a job, being like, oh, you just deal with dead bodies all day? What's going on there?
Return of the Obra Dinn as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Papers, Please and Obra Dinn both were very good at giving you a sort of mundane task to focus on.
Yeah.
And then, like, sort of slip the story past in the background, which I always thought was a very effective and uniquely video game-y way to tell a story. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's something that, like, Lucas Pope, who, you know, was the lead on both of those games, it feels like he worked both those jobs, even though he probably didn't. Like, he probably wasn't at a border crossing, and he probably wasn't,
he's very, very good at gamifying a sort of bureaucratic process.
Yeah, yeah.
In such a way, it's a way that makes it really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way that filmmakers like someone like Terry Gilliam in Brazil took the bureaucracy and turned it into, you know, science fiction, comedy, horror.
He's doing something for the Playdate, isn't he?
He's doing a Crankers game. Yeah, he's doing a Crankers game that's a little bit like Papers, Please, in that you're like peeking through like a door to kind of like see who's like almost like a doggy door to see who's on the other side to make sure they are the person who they say they are. But I don't think that's his like next like capital G game. I think that's like a neat little side game.
So if someone was making a video game of your job, how do you think you'd do it?
Like this job?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I guess it is the on-camera parts. It's like having to it would be a game with like very high, prolonged highs and then like trying to find the energy during those subsequent low moments.
A management game.
A little bit, yeah. And like being like, do I have enough in me? Is my health high enough right now to be able to withstand the next, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours?
Quickly crank the energy knob up.
Yeah.
And then crank it back down again.
Yeah.
Before he passes out. Before we use up too many banter points.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know, has anyone taken like the idea of like writing and made it interesting? Like a gameplay mechanic?
Just trying to imagine. I mean, it'd be like playing Missile Command, I suppose. Just sort of sitting there at your desk, trying to work ideas around in your head until the inspiration can strike.
So
What if we fired this missile or concept at this part of the sky or second concept? And does that cause an explosion? Yes, it does. We must remember this combination of elements.
I mean, there's also the like exploring of an environment in search of inspiration, which is kind of like photography games are like that, right? Where Pokemon Snap to Alba's Adventure to Umurangi Generation, which is exploring an environment and trying to find the beauty or the interesting, you know, somewhere inside of it.
Or sitting in a restaurant, sort of tuning your ears to try to listen in on other people's conversations to find inspiring snatches of phrase.
One of the game Kentucky Route Zero, in between each episode, like main episodic chapter, they released like this little interlude that would be just sort of a kind of a small side story. And in one of them, it takes place, it is during a full, like a performance at a bar that a singer goes on stage and performs a song. But you are in first person and you choose where you want to look and pay attention to during that performance. And it's just whatever the 5 minutes is, but you can choose to like turn around and only pay attention to a couple behind you, or you can only watch the performance, or you can look at the bartender and see what they're saying. But if like you come in halfway through, you're coming in halfway through this couple's conversation, which was something I always found interesting. I like that in games that, this is a different topic, but where you know you only have a finite amount of time to do things, and if whatever you are currently doing, you are missing out on something else. Majora's Mask did that very well, I thought.
Mm.
Although you could time loop, so I guess it cheated in that respect.
See, that's the sort of thing that stresses me out.
Oh, the time?
worrying I'm not doing the right thing at any given moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to kind of learn to just, like, let go of that. And, like, if a game is well-designed, I guess there is no quote-unquote right thing. Although you have things like Persona where it's, like, in order to get to the final semester or final real story bit, then you have to, you know, you have to answer every question perfectly or else you're boned.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I also just wanted to talk about this so we could talk about Persona a little bit, because, man,
of course,
those games, those games are great.
Don't really lean much into the work sim thing, though. You just show up at the convenience store, fade out. Thanks for working at the convenience store today.
And it'll occasionally ask you a question that you have to answer. I do like as simple as it is, I like Dave the Diver's how chaotic the moment gets when you finally start a shift at the sushi place, and I like how it grows, where you have to put out ads in the paper to get new help, and either it's front of house help or back of house help in terms of servers or it's kitchen staff, and the more they grow, like, the servers become capable of pouring beers for people or cleaning up the dishes after them.
Have you played it very long? Because I've got
probably
like
3 hours.
I got 2 staff in the back and 2 staff in the front, which is all you can have, I think.
Yeah.
And I barely have to do anything anymore during the restaurant management stuff. Because I really appreciated it when one of them learned how to pour beers, because I could never figure that shit out.
Yeah. I guess, isn't that like real restaurant management?
Supposed to pour the beer so it's only got like 20% of a head, but he's not holding the cup right. You're supposed to hold the mug at an angle and pour the beer down the side. That's how you stop it getting too much of a head.
You are. 100%. Yeah, that is true. But is he just pouring it directly in?
You don't get to control what angle to hold the mug at.
Chaos. Pure chaos. Dave the Diver, 0 out of 10. How dare you?
Very bad beer pouring simulator, Dave the Diver.
We need more beer pouring simulators in games. That's the real problem.
There's Tapper. And there's Dave the Diver. That's about it, I suppose.
There was Valhalla, which someone mentioned in the comments.
Do you pour beers in that?
You are a bartender. I don't remember if you're directly pouring the beers.
Because, you know, there's a whole process to it.
Yeah,
pouring a pint.
Guinness, you got to let sit for a while, and it's a weird little thing. Very strange.
Got to make sure there's just the right amount of head.
Yeah. Hubba hubba.
Yes, quite. See, if you just pour it straight onto the bottom of the glass, you get like 8 inches of head. You don't want that.
That's too much.
You let it run down the side of the glass.
That's like a beer cappuccino.
And then then you tilt the glass back up at the end to get the actual head that you want.
You get a little bit of it. You know what? People think that they come here and they don't learn anything. Turns out you did learn something.
And I was disappointed that my knowledge of how to pour beers did not really extend to pouring beers in Dave the Diver.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever poured a good beer in that game. Just let somebody else do it after a while.
I mean, maybe that's like a life lesson right there, is make enough money to be able to just pay people to do your job for you and then rake in all the profits.
And easy peasy. Then decide to build a submarine and in which you will die.
Yes. Exactly. Do you want to go to some super chats?
Yeah, let's go to super chats, because
we got a bunch of things to chat about
out here. With mono.
I hope you feel better.
Wow,
that was just I just want you to feel better.
It's not a very cheery outlook, because everything I've looked says mono can stay with you for weeks.
Oh no. TMS, too much kissing. TMK, I don't know where the S was in TMS.
Too much snogging.
Too much snogging. That's good.
There you go.
Is that just making out? That's just like British making out, right?
Yeah. Snogging is the British term for making out.
Hell
if
yeah.
you like.
I do like.
Maz57, welcome to bonus content. No comments, though. The Dogmatic Director, member 40 months in bonus content, says, excited for Adventure of Nigh Season 3. As for jobs and games, half my playtime in Fable 2 was standing at an anvil hitting 30 swords a day with a hammer for money.
That was a good one. That was actually one that a couple of people brought up last night as well. That was a good one. I feel like medieval and fantasy games are ripe for this kind of stuff, for these kind of small mundane jobs that can feed into the main systems.
In Fable games, I'd always just end up becoming a real estate baron.
A lot of games do. I mean, that is a job. Fable does that. Yeah, I like the Yakuza has the land ownership mini games where you can make hella money by doing that.
Some games like to simplify it. Just buy some property, and then it will just earn you money forever.
Just accrue money forever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. Gary Davis gives $5 and says, £5 rather, and says, looking forward to the in-job game on that upcoming release. Oh, what was again? That's right, Starstruck Vagabond. Hoping to play it on Steam Deck. I don't know what one has to do to be Steam Deck viable. Apparently my last game, Consuming Shadow, is Steam Deck viable, but it wasn't because of anything I did.
Any game can be boot up on a Steam Deck, and there are certain things where like developers will be like, all right, this, we give it the green light, it's compatible on Steam Deck, and there's other games that have a yellow light, and it's just like, this will probably work, and most of the yellow light games for me have worked just fine.
Okay, I assume if you just have like controller support,
pretty much,
probably be fine.
Pretty much seems like that. Ooh, Captain President said Yahtzee won, crank game win. What would you do for a crank game? Have we ever talked about that? If you were to make a crank game?
I assume there's already like 90 fishing games for it.
Yes, one of the launch games was a fishing game. There's not a whole lot of, like, what are the cranks? Like, what kind of cranking are we doing?
I guess
you could be like a gate, like you could be running a gate at like a post-apocalyptic compound. We gotta open the gate because the survivors are coming in, but then close the gate because the zombies are coming.
I guess I'd do something like my pre-flight panic game, but more maybe like on a factory conveyor belt where you turn the little crank to make the conveyor belt move. And if you see a product with problems with it, you have to fix the problems, but you have to do it all within a time limit. So the game encourages you to crank fast. But if you miss any things, any mistakes, woe betide you.
Yeah. Sometimes you crank too close to the sun.
Jambahay 18 gives 99 euro cents, but it doesn't say anything.
Keep jumping.
The giver's an insultingly small amount of money.
Are euro, are they called cents? Like the small euros?
I have no idea.
I don't actually know. Anyone in Europe, what are the small currencies of euros called? Pennies?
I know the small French currency was the centime or the centime.
That sounds like saltine, which is a cracker.
But they do euros now, so who knows?
Oh, cents. SVS Guru says cents, and SVS Guru is German.
Okay.
As this guru is correct. Thank you. Well done.
Ich möchten die Sens. Jambo, hey 18. Oh, hey, there he is. Gives 249 euros and says, long time Yahtzee fan, taught me good criticism. And then IE in small caps.
Internet Explorer.
Oh.
I don't know what IE is, actually. No.
Teaching
people good criticism. Good for you.
Andre Solizano, member for 10 months in early access, says, I dug Witcher 3 side quests felt like being a jobber. That's something I always appreciated in The Witcher, how sometimes you were on like an epic quest to save the kingdom and sometimes you were just, you know, doing your 9-to-5. Saying, hi, I'm the rat catcher.
Yeah.
Here you've got rats.
Insert, I like that. Yeah.
Fantasy monster there.
Yeah, you can't always be, you know, going at 120 miles per hour towards your goal of saving the queen or destroying the evil god. Like sometimes you got to pump the brakes a little bit.
I appreciated the blue collar aspect of it.
Yeah.
Nobody liked the witches in game because they were suspicious and weird, but it's basically just, they were the, They were like the jobbing plumbers of the world. Nobody likes hanging around someone who stinks of shit all day, but you kind of need to have them around when your toilet backs up.
They like the Mario Brothers, and they're plumbers.
Yeah.
And you think the Mario Brothers canonically smell like shit?
Well, they'd have to, being plumbers. So,
is that why they attract so many toads and various fungi?
Yes, for you see, in the Mushroom Kingdom, smelling like shit makes you very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, that's how you grow mushrooms, isn't it?
Yeah.
You cover them in manure. See, it all makes sense when you think about it. It makes sense that a plumber would be friends with a mushroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's probably a lot of black market sewage dealing in the Mushroom Kingdom. Hurting. I need 300 weight of heavy excrement.
Exactly.
Here you go. Oh, I feel much better now. A little speculation on how the Mario Brothers smell there.
Yeah, that's our Mario lore drop for the day.
Kind of great content you funded by viewers like you. Zaratha gives $5 and says, shout out to Childhood Classics on Fridays. Amy reminded me of my first job within a game, mowing the lawn with Putt-Putt.
Oh, that.
Did you ever play No More Heroes?
I did, yeah. That had lawn mowing.
That was very big on job mini games.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to fund your next duel to the death by doing shitty temp work.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too. I like the idea of having to take on a bunch of small random tasks in order to get enough cash to do the next thing.
No More Heroes was sort of doing it as part of its sort of fun satire of modern life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Shenmue did that. Tyrell mentioned Shenmue was one of the earlier games that did that too. A lot of those tasks were very boring, though. Let me tell you. Ooh, doggy. Very boring.
Well, No More Heroes would make them interesting.
Yes.
Like in the lawnmower minigame, if you move it a certain way, he sort of just takes one hand off the lawnmower and raises it in the air as if receiving great rounds of applause.
from an imaginary audience.
And if you're doing the petrol pumping minigame and you get the amount wrong, you just spontaneously combust for a few seconds.
Oh no, that's not good.
Where are we? Skylar Gaines gives $4.99, says, I've lost patience for secondary jobs in games as I've gotten older. I don't need another 9-to-5. As a kid, I'd fish or chop wood in Skyrim, but no longer.
Interesting. So there you go. There's that's sort of the opposite to our theory that adults gravitate towards it more because it's familiar.
So you won't chop wood in Skyrim, but you'll chop goblins. Double standards much?
I mean, supposedly, I'll engage with the things if either they are fun or the reward is good. I mean, isn't that just sort of like optional mini games? That's just like the two.
Yes, and sort of the same.
I just need one of the two things in order to get. Yeah, if it's not fun or if I'm not.
Usually, in a video game, a reward would be something that is fun.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To create more fun.
Yeah. Bajango gives $2 and says Valhalla had a fun bartending loop. There you go.
That was the game where you kind of run a cyberpunk bar in visual novel form, kind of.
Don't think I played that one. Cody450 gives $2 and says I highly recommend Traveler's Rest on Steam. Presumably one of those. Running management
like
games.
Yeah, it feels like you were like running an inn in a fantasy world, something like that.
Yeah, as I say, there's been a few of those.
Yeah, there've been quite a few of those. Did you ever get into the theme park management or hospital management? There's an upcoming school management games where you build your own blank and then you try to run it and see if you can.
I can
go without burning everything.
Get into
down.
Them for a while. Usually, as long as they're sort of goal oriented, I feel like I need something to be working towards, not just hey, run the most efficient theme park.
Sure, sure.
I did quite like Evil Genius. could play that for a while.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a base management game. That's more about construction and management than anything else.
Yeah.
I remember playing... I remember playing Theme Hospital back in the day.
Yeah, that was one of the original ones.
Yeah. It's called Theme Hospital because it was the pseudo-sequel to Theme Park.
Yeah.
And not because Theme Hospital makes any sense as a name.
Yeah, yeah. It really doesn't, because the idea of a theme hospital, like if we go to a hospital, that would be like Disney theme. Do you think Disneyland and Disney World have themed hospitals?
Speaking as someone who was in the ER last week, I think, and if they'd all been dressed as Elsa from Frozen, it would have only made things more excruciating.
Okay, I was wondering if it would be better or worse. Turns out the answer is worse.
Spoilers. Yes. Remember, I dropped out of a stream on last Wednesday. Well, I had the worst headache I'd ever had in my life. It didn't go away, so I had to go to the ER at the point where I could basically no longer walk because it hurt so much.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
No. Still kept me waiting like 4 hours before they could stuff me full of drugs, though.
American healthcare. Beautiful.
It was a very harrowing day.
I can imagine. I'm sorry to hear that.
And now I feel really tired all the time, and I might have mono.
You're having a good July so far.
It's just the tops. Prizefighter 26 gives $4.99. Says games seem to have trouble balancing rewards. If there's a normal job you can do, there's usually like 5 different more efficient ways to make money. Well, 'twas ever thus. It's always hard to balance things, especially when some people consider some things more rewarding than others.
Yep. Persona definitely, like, those jobs you get in Persona 4 or 5, like, they are a good way to make quick cash in the first few hours of the game, and then very quickly you're like, I just spend this time in a dungeon, I will make 20 times the money.
Pretty easygoing jobs, aren't they? The fact that you don't even have to show up for, like, 6 months.
They are, yeah, yeah. And, yeah, you could just call it and be like, I want a shift. I want to work at the 7-Eleven again.
Must be a worker's economy.
What a utopia.
Fungus Finder gives $5. Says, I am much more likely to enjoy farming when the sunburn, biting flies, and backaches are removed. A true one-to-one farming simulator would be awful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I said of more accurate. I didn't, I guess not entirely accurate, just I mean, I've more tried to accurate.
Play, I tried to play Farming Simulator. I mean, it doesn't have sunburn and mosquitoes, but you still have to plow the entire field and secure a distributor and work. Settle down. And work. You just saw someone outside the office and he's afraid someone's going to come and kill me.
Oh no, a murderer during a stream.
Yeah. But yeah, I found the farming simulation of Farming Simulator to be very, very dry and boring. I didn't really know what the hell I was supposed to do. It's not all the way to being a woof, that is it. It's more of a boof.
Yeah, it's a noise. Not exactly sure what kind of a noise it is, but it's definitely a noise.
Blue McNeil gives $5. Says, damn, Yart's got mono. Sorry, buddy. Take time today to open your settings menu, switch the audio over to stereo, should fix your rights up. Arf, arf. It is to laugh, Blue McNeil.
That was a good mono joke. That was a very good mono joke. That was a top 5 mono joke.
Well, it's like the one mono joke, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's currently strong at the top 5. There's room for others to slip in, though.
Meisterkleister Heist AR gives €5 and says, I'm somewhat of a celebrity now, apparently. People on other websites recognize my name due to your distinct reading of it. Thanks for streaming. You're welcome, Meisterkleister Heist AR. I guess that's all you need to be famous these days.
That is having a more famous person just pronounce your name with like a vigorous German enthusiasm.
But do people recognize Phil My Ass Up when he shows up elsewhere?
God knows I do. It was also funny that comment came in, or you read that shortly after someone said, you are just not German enough, Yahtzee. And then you said the Meisterkleister Heist there. That sounded very German.
I studied German in school.
You're very German. Don't let anyone ever tell you you're not very German.
It's difficult to know how to take that.
You're our big, strong Berlin boy.
Best case scenario, you're saying that I might be uptight and humorless. Worst case, you're saying I'm a Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Bad. That's not true. You know what? You know what's great? Cologne. Great city. It's got a big old church called the Dome. It's great.
Köln.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, Ben Slinder gives $10. Says, if I respond to Slack messages while playing games on my work computer, does that count as an in-game job?
Now you're talking. I mean, that's the other thing is, like 50% of my job, if it was in a job simulator game, would be writing Slack messages. I'm going to be honest, not super exciting.
Fair enough.
That's why I put goofs in them.
PJ Doolin gives $5. Says, just joining now, so you guys probably already mentioned it, but Dave the Diver has been my main game as of late, and it's a great for in-game chores.
Hell yeah. That was the impetus for this topic.
Just loves its little mini games, does Dave the Diver.
And they keep coming too.
Yeah, and it's prolonged alternative gameplay interludes as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some of the stealth things where I'm like, I didn't expect this in this game.
Have you gotten to the bit where it becomes a rhythm game at a Japanese idol concert for a few minutes for absolutely no reason?
I'm not. It's any other game, I would think you're making that up, but in this game, I assume that is very accurate.
Well, it certainly indicated to me what the developer's favorite character was.
There you go. You see what I tell that?
Beery77, welcome to bonus content.
No Beery, comment. Thank you so much. No comment. No comment even below. That's all right, Beery.
Sky Ken Dragon gives $4.99. Says, an ex of mine loved the Overcooked series because they worked in food service and said the stress was accurate. They just needed the staff to shout more. Depends who you play with, I suppose. They should play that game Space Team. Do you ever play that?
I have not, no. Is that, similar to that?
It's pretty old. I always had a lot of fun with it. It's like a mobile co-op game where everyone's playing on their own phones and you're all like connected.
Oh, that's right. And everyone has like a different...
Everyone's got a different
role on the ship.
Everyone's got a different control panel with different controls on it, and everyone's receiving instructions, but the instructions aren't necessarily for your control panel.
So
you just have to keep yelling out everything that doesn't apply to you.
Yeah. And try to explain the things you're seeing to people who are not seeing the things you're seeing.
Yeah. And it would be there's a bit tongue-in-cheek as well. Someone would have like a painting with a button next to it saying, admire. Yeah. And one of the jobs would be admire abstract art. Admiring abstract art, Captain Press.
That's a good job to have. That's necessary. It reminds me a little bit of that keep talking and nobody explodes, where one person can see the bomb and the rest of the people have the bomb defusal manual but cannot see the bomb. And so they're trying to explain.
It's very much along those lines of the sort of fun party co-op experience.
Yeah.
Dragonix, member for 1 month in bonus content, says, I was going to say I don't like jobs in games, but then I remembered Power Wash Simulator, Spiritfarer, and Dredge as some of my favorite games. Yeah, you like your post-dad experience.
Spiritfarer had those nice little ones along the little mini games on the boat that you were weaving the thread or breaking the rocks or fanning the flames.
All with that very fantastical element.
Yeah, and they were nice and quick, and they each had their own distinct rhythm that was neat to get a hold of.
Breaking rocks on the back of a giant sea dragon.
Oh, no. Spooky.
Stuff. See, that's post-dad in a nutshell. It's not just delivering boxes to the post office. It's delivering boxes to the post office in Narnia, and you have to do it before the princess is executed.
Oh, no. Not in Narnia.
Fungus Finder gives $2. Says, are there any meta game review games you'll know? There's a game on Steam I played once called YouTuber's Life that's like a...
Oh, okay.
Like a management sim of life as a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Probably massively unrealistic.
Sure, I imagine. Yeah, and then there was, like, in terms of game development, there was that Game Dev Story with those...
Like, yeah, there's a few of those.
Small, kind of like mobile games.
Not so much in terms of games media simulating.
No, like, yeah, in order to, like, make something interesting about critiquing, you have to get kind of meta, and I don't know how many games are willing to really do it. I just don't know how interesting that would be.
I guess the challenge for a game reviewing game would be to notice all the flaws in the game before you see someone else's review that noticed all the flaws you didn't notice, and you get really mad. Damn it. I'd noticed that too, but I didn't mention it.
Just because I didn't mention it doesn't mean I didn't notice that.
Damn it, I forgot I hated this game too. That's what you'll say.
That'd be a good name for the game. Damn it, I forgot I hated this game too.
Well, it's an eye catcher, isn't it?
Yeah.
That can sometimes work, and it can sometimes backfire. The comedy yeah. extremely long title.
Like, oh my god, there's just like an anime game I saw for Switch that
I'll bet.
No, that had the, it had to have the longest title I've ever seen in video game history.
Well, I was thinking of the film The Incredibly Strange Creatures That Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies.
That's a long title. What's going on? Why is that title so long?
I guess because the film had very little else going for it.
Oh, I mean, I guess that's true. It's like we didn't really make a great game, so here you go. Here's just a very long title that should keep you occupied.
See, the sort of joke is lost in like a digital distribution environment because it'll just be the first few words of the title and then dot dot dot,
and then just be cut off. Yeah, and you're kind of like, well, what's wrong with this? Yeah, yeah, and you don't have to like go through all the trouble of fitting it all in a single box.
Oh, and Captain President gives $20 and says, don't read this super chat, because he thinks he's the boss of me.
How dare you, Captain President. Thank you, Captain President.
Was that an attempt at a clever paradox or something?
It worked on me, to be honest. I can't find the name of the game.
Oh, well. I'll just take your word for it, that it was some long, dumb name, like what half those isekai animes have got.
It was exactly that. 100%, right. Yes.
Well, I guess we're out of super chats.
We did it. You know what? You're not feeling great. We don't need to. This doesn't need to be a big old beefer. We got a full swath of streams this week, so people are gonna get their beef elsewhere.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Stick around later today if you like beef.
Oh my god!
Because you'll be able to enjoy the premiere of Frost's new series. On YouTube, the stuff of legends.
Yes, that's got plenty of beef. And if you like this first episode, let me tell you, they keep getting better. Episode two, oh boy, humdingers.
If you like my occasional zero punctuation guide to stupid moments in video gaming history, this is basically that.
Yeah, neat little fun facts that you can brag to your friends. And yeah, like Nick said, that debuts in an hour from now.
So I was distracted by, looks like my kids are running around in the backyard playing with a bubble wand.
Could that be a game? Bubble wand simulator?
No, we are the kind of parents that try to make sure they actually get out and do activities rather than just sit watching Sesame Street all day.
Mm. Sesame Street simulator? I'm going to stop adding simulator at the end of names.
It's probably a bunch of games based on Sesame Street, aren't there?
I have to imagine, yeah.
SVSkuru 2000 gives €5 and says, speaking of long titles, the recent anime Reborn as a Vending Machine, I Now Wander the Dungeon. Yeah, yeah, that sort of thing was what I was referencing earlier.
They just are a vending machine? They're just walking around a dungeon as a vending machine?
There's a character in Starstruck Vagabond who's a vending machine.
Are they anthropomorphic? Do they walk?
Well, they sort of hop about.
Okay. Gotcha. Oh yeah, Jacob Kitty. I forgot Double Fine made a Sesame Street game. That's right. I believe it was a Kinect game.
Huh. And Shantanu Bhatia gives 729 AEDs and says, no, you're not.
Rude.
Oh, we are now. Done with super chats, I mean.
Or are we? Yeah. Well, what do you have going on this week? What sort of, aside from being sick, what can folks check out with your lovely voice?
Well, I've got my usual zero punctuation coming out on Wednesday. This will be the System Shock one dropping on YouTube for everyone. And for members, It'll be a certain game with the initials FF and a Roman numeral on the end.
The final fat nasty is finally here. Fatal Frame?
Yes, it's Fatal
Final Fight.
Fatal Frame 16 or Final Fight 16.
There's a lot of FFs. What's going on there? That's weird.
Funny that.
Well, yeah, like two. A lot of ACs.
We thought of three FFs.
That's a lot. I'm sure there's another one.
Answers on a postcard. It's AC is the one that's got like a million.
AC's the big ol'. Yeah, yeah. AC's the big ol'.
Animal Crossing, Assassin's Creed, Ace Combat, Assetto Corsa.
Assetto Corsa? What is that?
I think it's a driving game.
Oh, that sounds right.
It's like Asheron's Call. It's anonymous how many ACs there are in gaming.
Yeah, air conditioning. Wait, that's not a game. The air conditioning simulator, that's probably one.
Oh-ho.
Write that down. I don't know what that is.
How would you gamify that?
I don't even know how air conditioning works normally, so I don't know. I don't think I'd have a good grasp on it. You got to keep temperatures up and down. Got to make sure temperature in one room is good and in another room is also good.
It sounds riveting. And then stay that way for like 6 hours.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. What else we got this week? I've got an extra punctuation dropping for everyone on Thursday, I believe.
Do you know what the topic is? Can you tell people what the topic is?
I think it's the one that's about game ownership.
I believe it is. Yes, that sounds right.
So what are the streams we got and stuff and other things that are not me related?
We have everything. We have everything. Last week was a light week. A lot of folks, we had some folks sick, some folks gone, but this week is a boomer. So tonight, 6 p.m., Casey and Jesse will be back playing Death's Gambit for Hidden Gems. Did you ever play Death's Gambit? It was like a...
That's the 2D Souls-like, right?
Yeah.
I played it for a bit and thought, yawn, and stopped.
There's just a lot of those games, if I'm going to be honest. And then we'll have all the normal streams to recap.
Let me guess, you avoid attacks by rolling through them.
Iframes. Incredible. What a time to be alive.
Every 2D Souls-like is just rolling through attacks.
I'm going to be honest, this is kind of true. Yes. More of them need parry mechanics. We'll have Breakout, we'll have Recap. I think Nick is starting Gears of War Judgment, I think. And then watch our video on announcements of all the big stuff we have coming up, because you'll know what a couple of our next big streaming series and replays and stuff are, including...
Oh, yes, Nick, we had that announcement video. We had that announcement video premiere earlier today.
I'm gonna post it here.
Exclusive information about when the first episode of Adventurers Nigh Season 3 will be going out.
Yeah, you can get a little sneak peek at the new opening, which is very good.
And some other hot properties coming up soon besides. Yep.
Big old docs, big old new series, all sorts of stuff going on. Holy sweet Jesus, we have a lot going on.
Toffee can't help himself wagging his tail with glee, as you could see on the side of the cam for a second there.
I see something insane just happened in chat.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to throw up.
Captain President has gifted 20 memberships.
So much? You have to say all of them.
Goodness, so many people will be able to see the new ZP as it comes out.
Are you going to say them all?
No.
Lindsay Curry, Spazzo, Well, Conceptualization, Blue Aversion, Dave Vicente, Google it. Oh my God, where'd it go? Dave DeBlanc, Beefhammer, Denuro, Spadensis, Matthew McDonald, Robert Middleton, TSP, CWR, Alos Windrunner, Mr. Pickles of Doom, Solo, Lolo, 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 DC Fat Cat, Brigham Buick, Felleron X. You think that was all of them? I think I might have missed some. I like the one where I got to go Lolo, Lolo, Lolo a bunch. That was a good one.
Then Proud Hand comes in with $5 and says, "Hey, Yahtzee, now you've played a lot of D&D. Do you think it has a primary gameplay loop? Can TTRPGs even have a gameplay loop?" I don't know. It's pissing Jack off is the primary gameplay loop of playing Adventures Nigh. Anyway.
Adventures Nigh documentary gets shown off a little bit in the update video as well. So check
I should probably sign off because I'm tired. I got shit to do.
Take a nap, drink your emergency, and
I will drink plenty of fluids.
Yes, you have to do that.
And I'll see you all next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for the donations. Thanks, Captain President.